Hi, everybody. Welcome to the RV Podcast. And in this episode 276 of the RV Podcast, we talk to Tom and Patty Burkett, and we learn about collecting all those awesome stories you can find out there off the beaten path.
In everybody's story, you can find yourself.
Right.
You can find you, things you do, things you're afraid of, things you've experienced in somebody else's story. And it makes you feel like, oh, you know, this person and I, we could be friends. And then you spend a little more time and you find that, well, you're on your way to being friends.
Right. Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the RV Podcast, which is your guide to finding freedom and fun through RV travel. No matter what kind of an RV, whether you have a motorhome or a towable trailer or a tent, even if you're like somebody up here in Tequamanon Falls State Park camping out of the back of a caravan, you are welcome to this podcast, because this is all about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, learning about all the neat things to see along the way and discovering fun places. Like I said, our special guests this week are no strangers to this podcast, Tom and Patty Burkett, who will be joining us in a special interview of the week, and we'll learn more about them and how to find those awesome stories that they find for us off the beaten path. You're going to enjoy this interview very much. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael. We're recording this podcast at Tequamanon State Park in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. We're here for our annual winter camping trip, a gathering we've been doing for over 7 years. Over 30 RVers from across the country joined us to hike, snowshoe, take photos, and explore the beauty of the North Woods in winter.
I think we would have had more. We had close to 50, but there's a huge, as we record this, a huge winter snow that is coming across the upper Midwest with ice, and they're predicting up to 3/4 inch of ice in some places downstate Michigan. So we had a number of people who couldn't make it because of the weather, but we are up here in the woods. There's 20 inches of snow on the ground. And temperature is, I'm looking at now, about 19 degrees out there.
I think it's going to get down to 9 degrees tonight.
Now, we have been up here for 3 or 4 nights. It's been, this is our, and we'll have a video up on the YouTube channel come next Saturday. Look for our video on this. But, man, we've had a great time, except for yesterday.
Yeah, except for your getting the flu. That was kind of a wet blanket, so you had a day to withdraw from everybody and try to pull it together.
Yeah, once they found out I wasn't feeling well, nobody wanted to be around me.
Yep, but nobody needs the flu.
I literally just woke up, didn't feel well, and it got worse and worse, and ended up on my flat on my back for most of the day. I missed dinner with everybody, but I woke up this morning after lots of sleep, and it's like nothing happened. So I'm ready.
That's good.
Yeah,
it's keeping my fingers crossed I don't get it, and we're good.
Yeah, we just love this. This is one of our favorite trips of the year, every year, and you'll see why if you watch the video that'll come out next Saturday. This is, of course, being released as we're up here. We're actually recording this on a Saturday afternoon because no sooner do we leave Tequamanon Falls and head back downstate through that ice storm. I hope that's over tomorrow as we travel. But we have to jump on a plane on Monday and fly to Tampa, Florida to attend the Tampa RV Super Show, which is the granddaddy of all the early winter shows, RV shows around the country. And there are a million RV shows. This is the height of the RV show season this weekend, this coming up weekend. And we will have a list of them at the end of the podcast. But if you're going to the Tampa RV show, make sure you watch us all on social media, because we'll have lots of stuff on Instagram, where we're known as RV Lifestyle Mike. Just follow us, RV Lifestyle Mike, on Instagram. and Facebook, all the rest. But every day at the show, from Tuesday through Saturday, from 2 to 3 p.m., Jennifer and I will be doing meet and greets, and we'll be at the Leisure Travel Vans display at the RV Super Show in Tampa. Thursday night, we want to again remind you there's a big party, an after-show party that we will be at, along with a number of other bloggers and influencers that I'm sure you guys have heard of. That's Thursday night, January 16th. If you're down there, you are invited. Just come to the Wing House, which is right next to the fairgrounds there where the show is, the Wing House, from 5 to 9 p.m., and it's a big after-show party. There'll be music and food and drink and lots of folks there, and we invite you to come by and say hi to us and hang out with all of us and just have a great time. We'll have invitations to that party that we can hand out to you at the Tampa show. So if you see us, we're going to be wandering all over that show when we're not doing the meet and greets, shooting our own videos and doing videos. So when we're not at the LTV display, we'll be out there wandering around, say hi, and we'll be sure and have an invite to the show. It should be kind of fun.
It will be fun.
So you're feeling good, right?
I don't want to be boasting. Yeah. I'm feeling fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was amazing getting sick in the RV. People immediately are asking, you know, how cold is it and how don't you get cold in there? But we've actually a couple of times at night have had to turn down the heat.
Yeah, we're perfectly warm. It's good. Yeah, it's very comfortable.
It's I think it's we've got it set now at 69, and you might
that's up. You just dropped the table here, and it was a little chilly. So yeah, I turned up the heat. It was 67.
When you if you hear a little noise in the background, that's just the blower of the heater running. It's a 16,000 BTU heater that we have in this RV, and it really does a nice job. I thought sometimes we travel with a little ceramic heater to offset the chill, and we haven't even had to turn that on.
No, we haven't
needed
that.
It's been great. Hey, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Dish Outdoors, which lets you watch HD satellite TV from your RV wherever you're camped. Very easy setup gear. That's made with the RVer in mind. That's what we have in ours, this new Dish Outdoor system. It's the Wally HD satellite receiver. Just perfect for an RV. It's small. It's compact. Super easy to set up. Lets you record videos if you get a little optional setup thing that they have for if you want to record. But we don't have that in ours. We just use it to tune in to satellites. And what I like about it is the thing wirelessly connects to all of your favorite apps. So you can watch Netflix or any of the things you like to watch. If you like to stream movies from one of the providers, you can do that right through the Wally receiver. But it's made to work especially with their Dish Playmaker portable satellite antenna. And this thing is perfect. We have ours mounted on the roof of our RV. Once you turn on the Wally, it immediately goes to the antenna and it locks in. It finds, you don't have to get up and twist it and point it and try it here, try it there. It just automatically locks into the satellite and you get optimum reception. Now, here's what's awesome about this system. You don't need to have Dish at home to get Dish Outdoors. And because it's made for RVers, they understand that you're not in the RV 12 months of the year. And you can pay for your service a month at a time with no penalties or anything if you stop and start subscriptions. So we have a great resource for you, and they'll even give you a discount because you're a listener to the RV Lifestyle podcast. If you go to the following URL, go to rvlifestyle.com/dish, rvlifestyle.com/dish. And when you enter in the RV Lifestyle coupon code, you'll get a special discount on the Dish Playmaker and on the Wally receiver for just $298. And that's a really nice discount. So give it a try, and you will find traveling with satellite TV in your RV is awesome.
Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
While the rest of his NFL compatriots are off to Turks and Caicos to drink cocktails out of coconuts, Jaguars rookie quarterback Gardner Minshew has found a different way to blow off steam this offseason. He's on the open road, traveling from Florida to California in a Class A Ace motorhome. He said the trip is to relax and recenter himself after a wildly successful rookie year that earned him enthusiastic fans all over the world. He's asked those fans to send him places to visit, things to see, using the hashtag MilesWithMishu on his Twitter account.
That's great. Heading from the Jacksonville Jaguars to California in an RV. Good for him. The signs out at Glacier National Park warning that the signature glaciers out there would be gone by 2020 are being changed. The signs in the Montana Park were added more than a decade ago to reflect climate change forecasts at the time by the U.S. Geological Survey, and they didn't come through exactly like they thought. So in 2017, the park was told by the agency that the complete melting of the glaciers was no longer expected to take place that quickly. Their forecast models changed, but they haven't been able to change the signs until now, and they still can't do all of them. Tight maintenance budgets at the park made it impossible to get up there and get them all accurate. So the most prominent signs at St. Mary's Visitor Center were changed last year, but the park is still waiting for budget authorization to update signs at two other locations that still say they're going to be gone by 2020 when they clearly are not gone. But the glacier warning is not being removed entirely. Instead, their new signs are going to say, when they will completely disappear depends on how and when we act. One thing is consistent, the glaciers in the park are shrinking. So that's the latest on the glaciers out there at Glacier National Park.
An 18-year-old college student was bitten by an alligator while on a university nature hike in the Everglades. The teen's professor led her and about 15 other students on a very popular wet trail often used by hikers. As the party waded through the water, a gator bit the young woman's lower right leg. She suffered a couple of puncture wounds and did not require hospitalization. Everglades National Park biologists have temporarily closed the trail as they evaluate the situation. There's currently no set date for its reopening. Visitors have about a 1 in 3.1 million chance of being significantly injured by an unprovoked gator attack, according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation.
In other words, you're more likely to be struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Or wounded by fireworks or killed by a bee. But I guess that's a reminder that we got to be alert at all times out there. Hey, one of the terrific things about the National Park Service, aside from just making being caretaker of some of the most beautiful outdoor spaces you'll find anywhere on the planet, but it's the annual designation of 5 days during the course of every year that are free to the public. And those 5 days have been announced now for 2020, and we'll obviously these will be in our show notes that you can find for this episode. And the show notes are rvlifestyle.com/276. But just for you right now, here are the dates. Free entry on January 20th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. April 18th, the first day of National Park Week, which is a week-long celebration at all the national parks. August 25th, which is National Park Service Birthday, the birthday of the service. September 26th, National Public Lands Day, and November 11th, which is Veterans Day. On these dates, you can visit any national park across the country without paying an entrance fee.
In Yosemite National Park, people are reportedly falling ill left and right with stomach flu-like symptoms. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, at least a dozen people have reported gastrointestinal symptoms. Launching an investigation by the National Park Service and the U.S. Public Health Service into the origin of the illness. Federal officials said it was too early to identify the illness or where it might have come from. Federal officials were working with the operator of Yosemite's many restaurants, snack shops, and hotels to carry out an extensive cleanup and disinfection of food service areas in the area. No dining facilities have been closed.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Rad Power Bikes, built for everything, priced for everyone. They have a number of different e-bike models. They fit just about every possible variety of rider wants and needs you could find. They all can reach 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. They all have the ability to ride pedal-free with throttle, or use five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or a combination of pedaling and throttle. They're perfect for people who want to get back into riding. Maybe you're recovering from surgery or injury, or you just want a little extra help in keeping up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market, because the dealer retail markup chain is cut off. They deal directly with the customer. Mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, and they'll give you $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping on all their bike models. Use that coupon code RV Lifestyle to get that extra $75 off. You visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Okay, here's a question that came in via our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. And if you're not a member of that, we should give you, we'll link to that in the show notes, and you can sign up and join. That's at rvlifestyle.com/Facebook, and you can just join the group. But this came in from a listener named Vicky, and she says, what's the best cell phone coverage for those that RV a lot? That's from Vicky Joe. And all right, Vicky Joe, you know, Verizon used to be a sponsor of this podcast for a couple of years, and they are not anymore. That is still the service that we rely on more than any others. We're, for example, right now, we're up at Tequamanon Falls State Park, and everybody who has a Verizon signal, it's just great. I mean, I'm sending this podcast in. I uploaded our weekly YouTube video in. Just solid coverage, really good. We just ran into, walked down the way a couple, as I told you, you heard there's a big storm hitting. Everybody's getting worried about driving home from this camp out in a big storm that's coming across. And we hit a couple of the folks who were camping with us, and they said, oh, we're out of touch because we have AT&T. We can't get a signal, and we don't know what the weather is. And so we showed them our, told them about what the forecast is. So we have found in our travels that Verizon has been the most reliable for us in terms of the places that we visit. Now, on our Facebook group, Vicky Joe's question resulted in dozens of answers from people who are all over the place. Some are very frequent RVers, some kind of stay in one place. But you can go, we'll put a link to them in the show notes so you can read the reviews of other RVers who answered her question on our Facebook group. And I think it'll give you a pretty good idea of which is the one that you may want to invest in. Personally, we choose Verizon. We did have AT&T as a backup until AT&T changed the rates on that. And we used it a couple of times when we had a bad Verizon signal. So it's nice to have two different carriers. But if I was just to get one, we would still recommend Verizon. And again, you can go to our Facebook group and check out what other RVers say. Lots of answers there. But we do rely on our internet connections, and we do our job from the road.
We have to be connected, so yeah. It's not an option.
Yep. Here's a tip, Jennifer, that somebody phoned in. They emailed this in. Let me see. Who was this? This was from, I thought I wrote it. Joyce. There it is. Joyce wrote this in. She heard you talking about how hard it is to keep your hands and feet cold, warm.
It's very easy for me to keep them cold.
Yeah. Jennifer has a thing called Raynaud's syndrome, where you have poor circulation in your extremities and your fingers
and toes.
And
10% of us out there have it.
And so she's always talking about warmers, and the ones we use most often are called hot hands. And this is from Joyce. She says, reference the hot hands hand warmers. They can be reused. When they cool off, put them in a Ziploc bag and squeeze the air out. Snack size bags are great. I use a straw in a small area, not completely close, to suck as much air as possible out, and then pull the straw out and finish closing the bag. And when you're ready to use it again, just remove it and shake again, and you'll reactivate them. It's a great money saver, and it works.
Wow.
Have you ever tried that?
No. I can honestly say that thought never occurred to me. A lot of us up here have had trouble because they don't work.
The hot hands.
The hot hands, they don't work. And we were thinking maybe they were old, because I know, you know, if you've had some for a year or two, it seems like with me, they don't work. So I'm very surprised that you can reuse them.
Yeah.
They don't tell you that.
No, I don't know. I had one of them in mind. We did that first hike when we first got mm-hmm. up here Thursday morning. And mm-hmm. man, that thing worked for like the whole day.
Yeah.
Every time I put my gloves on, it was just hot in there. It was great.
Yeah, I haven't had much luck with them. My leather boots, I think, got wet. And so everything I've been putting to warm my feet hasn't worked.
Well, Joyce says you can reuse those. So try it once and let's see what happens.
Okay.
I don't know why they would die sometimes in the package and you can't reactivate
them. I don't
them, you
know either, but I've had a whole bunch of them that don't work.
Yeah, I think sometimes people do clearances on them, and then you let them sit around for a year, and when you go to reuse them again, they don't activate.
Right.
When they do activate, they're awesome. They really
right.
are.
Yeah, they yeah. should work great, but they haven't been this trip.
In the video that we'll have on Saturday of our camp out here, you see what Jennifer's using now, and she has her special gloves.
Well, they're your gloves, but I...
And mine? Well, why did you steal my gloves?
Because I have cold hands.
Oh, okay. And you can just take my gloves like that?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know they were
you
mine.
You never wore them.
I know. No, they're really cute. They're the dogs...
Oh, you
at
don't
the
want
dog
to be cute?
Park. No, I do not want to be cute. The dogs at the dog park love your gloves.
I know.
I do. They do. All right. Hey, do you have a question? We'd like to have you featured on the podcast.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. Get in touch with Battle Born to find out what lithium batteries and an upgraded energy system that you might want to add to your RV. Battle Born's motto is get out there and stay out there, and that's their mission, to provide RV batteries with the highest quality lithium ion phosphate technology at the fairest price on the market. They've become kind of the de facto standard for lithium batteries these days, and there's a reason for that, because lithium batteries offer much better performance than standard lead batteries. They charge faster, they charge fuller, they're longer lasting, they're maintenance free. And the team of battery experts at Battle Born Batteries are familiar with all of the existing components on your RV. No matter what kind of an RV you have, chances are really good that you can just pull your old ones out and drop in the new lithiums, and you'll be great. We have lithiums in ours, and just love the system. We also upgraded the solar charger to ours, and we have a new 2,000-watt inverter that we put in it. And what I like about the system that Battle Born provided for us is that it's all set with on my smartphone. I can actually monitor the performance of my batteries on my smartphone when I'm in the RV through Bluetooth. It's just really neat. You just need to call Battle Born yourself. Go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium. You can learn about the product. You can see why lithium should be in your RV lifestyle future plans. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast, and you will be thrilled, I think, to see what they can provide you. Battle Born Batteries. Go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. All right, time now for the interview of the week.
Well, if you've been following our podcast for a number of years, you know who our guests are this week. Tom and Patty Burkett. They've been doing the Off the Beaten Path reports for the past 4 years and have a huge following in and of their own. And we are going to make them our interview of the week this week. We're going to learn a little bit about them, how they travel,
and how you can find your own Off the Beaten Path reports as well. So join us now as we welcome Tom and Patty.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Tom and Patty, we got you for our interview of the week this week.
Wow. Hey,
well, thanks.
Does that mean I don't have a off the beaten path report?
It might.
Well, we'll have one ready to go about Trenary, but you can use it or save it.
Okay.
Well, or we can talk about Trenary now.
Yeah, since you just brought it up, people have no idea what you're talking about. We're at our winter camp out, and Trenary is a small little town that you just found. You went out yesterday for, you said, an hour or two, and you came back just before dark.
Right.
But you found the report, right?
Yes, we went to into town to the grocery store to pick up something we'd forgotten, and Patty found on the shelf there Trenary toast, and you can...
Well, we knew about it from having been in the UP once before, and it's a... I don't know that we remembered exactly about it, but we saw the little bag, we bought some. It's sort of like biscotti, but it's made with toast, and so it's twice baked, and then it's got cinnamon or cardamom or sometimes chocolate chips. Anyways, we said that made us pull out the map and figure out where Trenary was, and we're not positive whether it's Trenary or Trenary. So
I think it's Trenary.
Trenary, okay. And so that we pulled out the map, and it was like, well, it's only 76 miles from here.
And we had been there once before, but we thought, well, we'd have to do a report on that. And if we go back, maybe we'll, we can have a little bit more conversation with the folks there and find out a little bit more about it. It's a Scandinavian thing, this toast. It's from Finland, and the original settlers were Finnish of this area, and they brought this with them, and they started this bakery in 1928, and the bakery... this was one of their specialties, and people would come in and get it. And it's funny because it says on the package that it's has a shelf life of a year. And if you can imagine toast lasting a year, that's pretty handy toast.
Yeah, okay. Keep it there.
So you went to Trenary.
Right.
And well, we'll hear it on the Off the Beaten Path.
Sure.
Report.
Right.
You'll have to wait for the rest of the story.
But the story right now is you guys. And we've been doing this now for years. You have a delightful way of teaching us about all these awesome places you find off the beaten path. So tell us how that all came about. What's your background? And give us a little insight. What did you guys do? And are you retired? And what do you travel in? And how did this all come about?
You could start.
Well, we are retired. I'm better at it than Tom is. But I was a nurse for 34 years and worked in several different areas. But retired about 2 years ago, and Tom was a teacher, you can tell about that, but partly because he was a teacher, we did a lot of traveling during the summer, because we were able to. I was able to kind of wrangle my nurse schedule to maximize time off, and we had three kids, so we've always done a lot of traveling.
We have, and one of the things that's really influenced the way we travel now is that in those early years, those early 25 or 30 years when we towed a pop-up tent trailer behind the Suburban with five bikes and four kayaks strapped on top and the dog in the back end of the car. We went to all the national parks, and we went to all of the big things that, you know, are sort of bucket list things that you might have. And so by the time we retired, we realized that we could just spend our time wandering around and doing what we wanted to do. We didn't really have a big bucket list of things to do because we'd done them earlier with the kids. And it's panned out for us and the kids because they're all travelers, and one of them's a park ranger, and they all really enjoy being in the outdoors and just getting away and finding something interesting to do. So
we still like going back to those places. I mean, we still certainly have made some trips back, you know, to Utah, and we've picked up some of the smaller parks that we didn't get to the first time around. But now
we love to go to Glacier, right, and Yellowstone,
right.
And
but now that we are not under such time pressure, I mean, it was when I was working in the summer, you know, in the summer when the kids and Tom had the summer off and I was the limiting factor, there were times when they picked me up at the end of my shift and we left, and we literally got back 12 hours before I had to be at work. And so one of the real joys for us now is, we can just take our time a little bit more.
And several times over the years, you'd fly home from somewhere where we were, like from Denver, and work for 4 or 5 days and then fly back so you could have another 2 weeks vacation.
Right.
So
now you're off the beaten path reports. We've had them now for, I guess we're probably 4 years.
Yeah, I think maybe.
You
I think
came right up to so. Pretty quick. Yeah, I think we've had the podcast for 5 years and you've been at least 4. What makes it off the beaten path here? What gets you excited? Now, you just gave us a little hint. While you were up here on this trip, you found about Trinary toast, but you tend to teach, which we understand now from your background as a teacher. You were a science teacher, if I remember right.
True.
So, but you have an ability to pull the history out of these places. And this, you can't hide the love that you have for these small towns. How do you two work together along that? How do you figure out what makes a story and what doesn't?
Well, I think the thing that makes it work for us is that we really enjoy hearing other people tell stories. And no matter where you go, if you take a little bit of time to stop and visit with the people who live there, or even in a campground with the people who are stopped there, they have stories they love to tell, most all of them. And if you give them considered attention and act as if you enjoy what you're hearing, which we almost always do, enjoy it, then the stories just come out. And it doesn't make any difference where you go. Somebody asked me last night, well, you know, how do you know where to go to find these stories? And I said, we could drive into Newberry and spend an hour visiting with people at the stores there and the gas station, and we collect 4 or 5 off the beaten path stories. And
when you just asked the question about how do you decide what makes an off the beaten path report, when you said that, I was like, well, we don't decide what's an off the beaten path report. We just hear stories. And in fact, the only thing that makes something not an off the beaten path report is if it's too well known. Like, we aren't going to do one about the Smokies. Now, we have done 2 about parts of the Smokies that people don't go to normally.
And you told us about the synchronous fireflies.
Right, things like that, you know. Because everybody knows, you know, everybody can look up the website and find the Smokies if they want to go there.
Well, curiosity obviously plays a role in it. And that's what I've always said as a journalist that's gotten me excited. But you saw something about Trinary toast. So, you're in the Upper Peninsula, which is kind of a unique, off-the-beaten place,
right.
part of this country
here,
in
right?
the first place.
Exactly.
And you said there's got to be a story behind
right.
this. And so you drove 150 miles almost round trip to find it.
So some people probably think that's foolish. I mean, like, I was thinking about that, that some of the people here who are out hiking 4 miles, they're like, well, why would you come to the UP and take most of your day to drive to get that, you know, just to get that story? For us, that's pleasurable. I mean, we're intrigued by history. We kind of love learning about the different areas of the country and who they were settled by. Like, I mean, there's a big, you know, pretty much anywhere you go, there's an immigrant story of who were the people who settled that area. And so that's intriguing to us. So, and we like time, we enjoy time in the car and talking to each other and being with each other. So for us, driving those hours over there, talking to the people we got to talk to, and driving back is maybe equivalent to somebody else taking a 4.5 mile snowshoe hike.
Now, you guys have been, you're traveling in a 1997 road
right.
trek.
Road trek, 190 you, popular.
Have you counted off how many states you've been in that?
We haven't.
Most of them except for the Pacific Northwest, which we've been to in other vehicles, but we've not made a trip up there yet in the road trip.
Right.
Yeah, but I think we've been pretty much everywhere else.
Yep.
Now, you were sharing with me a couple of times, we all like to look at the start of a new year and plan out our trips, and you've got a couple of interesting trips. Talk about those. What are you thinking about doing this year?
Well, I have this notion that that we've heard a lot of good stories around the edges of various places in the United States, places where cultures and lifestyles come together. So we're going to start out this year by driving the Atlantic coast from Ocean City down to Key West and then coming back along the Gulf Coast, maybe as far as Galveston. here at the beginning of the year and just talking to people about what it's like to live on the edge of the country. And that may develop into a project, but we'll certainly come across a lot of interesting stories in that, and we'll get some sun and some sea and have a good time.
You also did this past year a off the beaten path tour, if you will, and you invited some people to come along with you from the group.
Yes.
How did that work out, and do you plan to do any more of those?
It turned out great. We were in eastern Pennsylvania and focused on off the beaten path sorts of places. We visited some small factories and some small like family-run businesses. Mm-hmm.
Some historic sites and some markets. And
got to see the Gettysburg Electric Map. And
stayed in some Harvest Host locations.
And you had, but you had, you invited people from the our group, to the Facebook group, to come.
So we had five, six people that came along. We could have, you know, we could have taken more. I think we pictured it with a few more than that. Although, certainly the size of, we couldn't have taken probably more than 10 people max, just because of the locations we were going to. They were small. And so it ended up being a really nice size group because it was really easy to go from place to place. There's nothing like herding a group of, you know, huge group.
Besides your edges of the country project, you see doing any more of those maybe later on in the year?
No, we might.
We've thought about it. We've got a couple of ideas. We've got a notion for one that's up in western New York, and another one in southern Kansas and Oklahoma that pulls together some locations that we've been and some other places we'd like to see. And so we may do that.
One of the things about both of us, but Tom in particular, is the fun of something is doing it the first time. So while we could easily repeat that Pennsylvania one, because we've already done the work, we have all the connections, we know all the places, the fun of doing it decreases for us. We like doing, you know, it's the excitement of doing something the first time and seeing if it works.
But we did have a good time with the people who came and getting to know them. That was very nice.
Obviously, you've been doing this for a long time. You started off with your family as the kids grew. And one of your daughters is, as you said at the very beginning, is a park ranger with the National Park Service.
She's with the Corps of Engineers right now. But she's been with the Bureau of Land Management, and park rangers kind of move around a bit, especially early in their careers.
Now, do you think that she chose that field of occupation because of your traveling?
Well, I think it certainly influenced her a lot. I mean, I think those, you know, she was, well, all of our kids, but she in particular loved getting her junior ranger badges. She, you know, looked up to the rangers as people that, you know, she admired and wanted to be like, and she loves nature, and she loves educating. I mean, I think she, one of her other sister is a teacher. She doesn't really feel drawn to, like, classroom teaching, but the work of being a ranger that she really likes is the part of educating people and getting people excited about the land and taking good care of it and nature.
And that's stuff you learn by going out there and exploring.
By seeing a lot of park rangers.
Yeah.
So everybody probably asks you this, but I will anyway. What's your favorite?
There are no favorites.
Favorite place?
Yeah. Do you ever have a favorite place, a favorite story that you've done?
Well, yes. Oh absolutely. My favorite is Gonzales, Texas.
Yeah.
And finding a roadside marker that commemorated the role of my great-great-great-grandfather in the Battle of the Alamo and the burning of Gonzales, Texas. And the story that my father knew, but he had never told me, and I came across this, and it just opened up an entire new chapter of the family history to me. It was really exciting and a lot of fun.
Okay, mine is different than that. Mine, hands down, was going to the Mermaid Bar in
Great Falls,
Montana. First of all, that there was even a Mermaid Bar there. And second of all, that we just happened to be there when the New York Times was there doing a report. And it was just this moment. We were sort of sitting next to some motorcyclists from Canada, chatting with them. Next to me was this NPR reporter from Alaska.
From Anchorage.
We just all started chatting, and she said, you know what? She said, do you feel the buzz? You know what's going on right now, don't you? And I was like, no, I just was excited because here we were at this bar that had mermaids swimming behind it. She said, well, the New York Times is here doing a story about the organ player. and the organist, and she's been piano Pat.
She's been there for 50 years. 50 years.
Anyways.
And you just happened
to be there. And then we ended up having our picture in the New York Times. It was crazy.
I think one of my favorites, and you didn't go on this one, Patty, the Great Donut Trail.
Oh, right. I missed that one.
In Ohio, I think. Yeah. Those are some of them, and I'll have to hopefully dig out, and I'll put links into those reports that we've done, and people can go back and listen to them. But as we end this interview, we get to know you guys a little bit better, but this is something anybody can do, isn't it?
It is.
Give them a couple of tips and hints on how they can discover and be a part of finding these awesome off-the-beaten-path reports for their lives.
Well, I think, first of all, don't be afraid to ask questions and to try to connect with people. Tom's better at that than I am. Sometimes I'm like a little embarrassed and like, oh, I don't want to bother them. They look busy. So yesterday when we went to the Trenary Toast place, you know, we asked to speak to the owner and we asked if we could have a tour of the factory. Now, it turns out yesterday she was doing a whole bunch of interviews and it ended up not working out that we could do it.
You mean for jobs?
Yeah, she was just really busy. You know, she had like interviews scheduled. So, but like my personal tendency to walk in would be like, oh, you know, I don't really want to bother them. You know, they look busy. And if you approach people in a friendly manner and just out of curiosity of what they're doing, the most they'll do is say no. And often they're enchanted that you are interested, right?
Almost always. People love to tell their stories. They just love to tell their stories. And if you have genuine interest, then they will tell you with great gusto.
Right. So I think that's my tip I have to fight that sort of internal thing of, I don't want to get in their way. I don't want to bother them. The piece of information was it was a family run business that had been there since 1928. And they had some things that, you know, showed that they were finished. There was a finished connection. I mean, that's enough to start asking the questions.
The Trenary Toast Off the Beaten Path report will be coming, and we'll let them all listen to that one and even hear more of it. But
and then I don't know what your tip would
be. Yeah, your tip for...
My number one tip is don't be in a hurry.
There you go.
I can't tell you how many times we've driven down the road and seen a little sign or seen a signboard. You know, once we drove by a church in outside the Smokies, and there was a sign that said potluck dinner Thursday night, and we were camping 20 miles from there, and we said, well, we'll just come back. And we came to the potluck dinner, and it turned out that the retired chief ranger of the Smoky Mountains was talking after dinner, and we got to have dinner with him and then listen to all of his stories, and that was fabulous. Or you see a sign, take the time to turn off the road and go and see what it's about, and more than half the time it'll be worth it.
Yes.
What is it about stories that connects us all? So, what is that thing about a story that just resonates with us all?
Well,
in everybody's story, you can find yourself.
Right.
You can find you, things you do, things you're afraid of, things you've experienced in somebody else's story, and it makes you feel like, oh, you know, this person and I, we could be friends. And then you spend a little more time and you find that, well, you're on your way to being friends.
Right. Or sometimes even, or if you don't exactly see something that is your story, you see something that you admire. Like, I mean, some of these people that have these small family businesses, I mean, man, the dedication and the you know, kind of putting their lives on the line to keep a small business
going.
You know, we've talked to a number of people who said, well, I stopped taking a paycheck because I have employees that I just can't, I don't want to let them go. They depend on me. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. I think there's some things like that, yes, I can connect to that in some way. And then in another way, it just makes you admire, you know, people whose lives are somewhat different than yours. You see, wow, you know, that's not something I've really had to face, and you admire it about them.
There's great spirit, mm-hmm. great spirit, and passion, and a will to be successful and to leave things better than you found them.
Tom and Patty Burkett, you guys make things better than you found them. And I am delighted that we get to share all of your stories each week. And thanks for helping us to know your story a little bit better.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, that was really great to get a chance to introduce you to our friends, Tom and Patty Burkett. If people listen to the podcast, so they know these guys, right?
They do.
We think that's probably one of the most listened to parts of our podcast, the Off the Beaten Path reports. And it's kind of fun to let you get a chance to learn a little bit about them and their travels. But just a delightful couple. We talked to them around a campfire here at our winter campout.
And it was most delightful.
Yeah.
A delightful place to have a visit.
Yep. And we invite you to go back and listen to some of the podcast episodes with their reports on them. They're on just about every single week here on the podcast, and there's probably a couple hundred of them now that we've had as they travel the country and share those great off-the-beaten-path reports. And I like what they said about everybody has a story, and everybody fits in that story. That's good.
And they do. You just have to slow down and take time and get to know people.
A lot we can learn from the Burkitts. The Interview of the Week is brought to you every week by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motor home is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Sunshine State RVs, they're based in Gainesville, Florida, but just go to SunshineStateRVs.com and you will be able to go through what we think is the largest selection of used and new small motorhomes that you'll find anywhere in North America. They specialize in small motorhomes, and they have a whole bunch of brand new motorhomes right now ready for you to look at, the Winnebago Travato and Era. The Travato is, I think, the most popular small motorhome sold in America these days. The Coachman Beyond, the American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, and more. New in stock at SunshineStateRVs.com. And if you're looking for a used RV, this is where you want to go, because they have the largest used inventory of RVs anywhere in the country. In stock, previously owned small RVs ranging from the early 90s to the current year, from all the most popular brands, from Pleasureway and Winnebago and Leisure Travel and Coachman and Road Trek and more. Not a wider selection to be found, I don't think, anywhere else in North America. And every RV that Sunshine State sells has gone through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They turn on every device. They road test the units. They make sure they're working. You check them out, SunshineStateRVs.com.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, as I said, it is the heart of the RV show season across North America right now, and we have a whole bunch of them that are coming up this weekend in January. Let me start with the big one, which is the one that we will be at, the Florida RV Super Show, held at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. Jen and I will be there all week. We invite you again to come meet us from 2 to 3 p.m., at the Leisure Travel Vans display. We'll be there every afternoon doing a meet and greet. And on Thursday night, right next to the fairgrounds at a place called the Wing House, we'll be part of a big after-show party with a bunch of other YouTube influencers and bloggers, and we invite you to come and see us there as well. The Florida RV Super Show, it opens to the public on Wednesday and runs till Sunday the 19th. Also, January 11th, it started, it's almost like a two-week show, is the Pittsburgh RV Show. Long show, runs at the David Lawrence Convention Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh RV Show. January 16th through the 19th, it's the Mid-America RV Show at the Kansas City Convention Center in Bartle Hall. That's in Kansas City, Missouri. January 16th through the 19th in Ontario, Toronto RV Show. Toronto, Ontario, held at the Toronto Congress Center. January 17th through the 19th, the Central Gulf Coast Boat Sport and RV Show at Lake Charles Civic Center in Lake Charles, Louisiana. January 17th through the 19th, the Des Moines RV and Boat Show at the Iowa Events Center in Des Moines, Iowa. January 17th through the 19th, the Greater Chicago RV Show at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois. January 17th through the 19th, the New Jersey RV and Camping Show in Edison, New Jersey at the Convention and Expo Center there. and January 18th through the 26th. Now, this is always a big one. It's the Quartzside Sports Vacation and RV Show at Quartzside, Arizona. That is a major show, and lots of people will be out for that. All right, there's probably a show near you. Go to it. That's the best way to get an idea of what's out there for RVs. Thanks for all those shows that are out there for the public. And if you're having a show, make sure you send us a note, and we'll put it in our calendar every week.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RV Lifestyle. Style.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
And we do look forward to being back with you next week. Remember, you can find the show notes with explanations, resources, and stuff that we talked about in this episode. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/276. Great to have the Burkitts on the show, and appreciate all those questions. We are going to go out and play in the snow.
Bo can't wait.
Yeah, Bo's been in here as we've recorded it. We're recording this in our RV, and now we're going to go out and play. We'll see you guys down the road.
Happy trails.